Bible tonight, you'll find our text in the book of 2 Corinthians. Book of 2 Corinthians. We appreciate the opportunity to be here at the High Point Camp and appreciate Brother David allowing us to be here. I've never been here before to High Point Camp, so it is a great honor to come somewhere. 50 years it's been here. This is sort of a golden year for me. I've been saved 50 years this year. And I've been married for 48 to the same woman. Last 26 years, we've lived in one room together, and 250 nights a year. And then I've been preaching 47 years. So it's sort of a golden year for me. We thank the Lord for His kindness to us. It's in my heart in these five services, if the Lord allows us to meet all five together, to look at some life lessons from the Lord. Life lessons. All of the lessons that our Lord teaches are life lessons. You don't ever take one of God's courses and say, "Boy, I'm glad I got that behind me. I didn't do too well in it, but I'm glad I got a D in it. I'm glad it's behind me." Yeah. No, none of God's lessons are ever behind you. They're always before you. I was talking to a young teenage girl the other day. She's a senior in high school, and I asked her a question. I said, "If you dreamed one night and you seemed to wake up in your dream, it seemed to be real to you, that you had been placed in a state where you would go to school for the rest of your life," I said, "what would you do?" She said, "I'd go crazy." Well, for you that are like that here tonight, don't hook up with Jesus, because He's going to enroll you in a lifetime school. The only way out is for you to die. And He will continue to teach His lessons over and over and over again. The lesson that I feel like the Lord would have us to look at tonight is the life lesson of trusting in God. Trusting in God. Well, I tell you, preacher, I trusted God years ago as my Savior. I'm glad that's behind me. I'm glad that course is over. As my grandma used to say, you don't know way yet. The trusting world. It is a life lesson, one that will be continually taught over and over again. I turn our attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 9. He says, "But we had the sentence of death in our cell, that we should not trust," there's our little word, "in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth delivereth, in whom we trust," there's our little word, "that He will yet deliver us." I'm interested in that little word, trust. It has the idea, the little Greek word has the idea of putting all the confidence in another. It has the idea of carefree living. It has the idea of hiding oneself in another. I was looking at the word again and meditating upon it. It has the idea of resting all, I cannot overemphasize that, all of the weight upon another. Maybe you could picture tonight, we've got an 8-foot table up here. Some of you might would lean on that table and satisfy yourself that you're trusting in God. I assure you tonight you're not. You may even come to the place to sit upon the table and really pat yourself on the back that you've come a long ways in the trust world. The only thing that he would be satisfied tonight is if you would get up on top of the table and rest your entire weight upon that table. And he can certainly sense tonight when all of your weight is not resting upon him. And he'll knock the props out from underneath of us. I fear a lot of us are like the old boy that was afraid to fly. Oh, he just detested it. He was just scared to death. One of his loved ones died out in California, and he lived here on the East Coast. And the only way he could get there in time for the funeral, he had to fly. So he flew out there and he flew back, and some of his friends asked him, said, "Well, how did you do?" He said, "I did fine." They said, "You wasn't scared?" He said, "No." So, "Well, how in the world did you get over your fears?" He said, "I never did rest all my weight on that seat." There's some of you sitting here tonight, you're afraid to fly. You wouldn't get in an airplane, save your life. Could I give you some facts tonight? The earth tonight, right now, is spinning at 1,000 miles per hour on its axis. The earth is moving at 66,000 miles an hour around the sun. The solar system is moving at 515,000 miles an hour around the galactic core. The Milky Way is hurtling towards a collision with the Andromeda galaxy at a mind-numbing 1.2 million miles an hour. So if you're extremely afraid to fly tonight, fear not, you're already flying. And I notice that you don't have your seat belts buckled. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, you better have all your weight resting upon him tonight. He can sense the least bit of weight is not resting upon him. As we begin to unpack the trusting in the Lord baggage tonight, I would begin in our text that we read at the commencement of trusting. Where exactly does trust begin? I notice in our text that Paul tells us that it commences in death. I did not know if you noted or not. I hate to be the first to tell you. You were not born with the trust gene. Your daddy and mama didn't put it in you when they had you. You were born into this world dead spiritually. If he doesn't come to you, make yourself a note. You're going to hell as good as where you're sitting. He says here that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which what? Raises the dead. Matter of fact, if you've got a second, I hope you've got at least a second. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, I'm talking about the commencement of trust. You're not born with the trust gene. He said it commences in death. He says in verse number 1, "And you hath he quickened." It means to bring to life. Who were dead. That little word dead there is the word corpse. Dead in trespasses. When God found you, when he found me, we were a corpse. I had an old deacon one time. He called me in his office. He had earned a doctor's degree from Bob Jones University. He told me, he says, "I don't believe man's dead, you preach him." I said, "Sure enough." I said, "How dead do you think he is?" He said, "Well, I think man's got the ability to come on his own to God without God coming to him." I said, "Sure enough." I said, "You ever studied Ephesians 2:1? He says, "I don't know that I have." I said, "The little word corpse there, the word dead is the little word corpse." I said, "How dead do you think a corpse is?" You wouldn't go down to the funeral home. They said, "Now, Bubba's there in the first room. He's half dead. Lula Smith, she's in the middle room. She's three quarters dead. And Bubba's, he's in the back. He's all dead." Now, if you're at the funeral home, you D-E-A-D, dead. So the only way you'd have any trust tonight is if God give it to you. And that's exactly what he says in Ephesians chapter number 2. He says in verse number 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. That's the ability to trust him. And that not of yourself. It's what a gift of God. God must put trust inside of you. He must give you and I the ability to rest all of our weight upon him. It commences in death. I do not have to get in a whale's belly tonight like Jonah to realize salvation is all of God tonight. Watch the text back in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Not only does it commence in death, but I notice that it commences by deliverance. Paul says in verse number 10, who delivered us? I did not know if you'd see that ED or not. I thought I'd underline it. Delivered us from so great a death. Whenever there's an ED on a Bible word, it means there was a past action that guarantees a present result. When he died on the cross, he delivered me from the penalty of sin. My sin, past, present, and future, were placed upon him. He absolved me. He placed me in a state where my sins do not exist anymore. He has paid the price. You're looking at an old boy tonight. Take a side view of me. I'm not going to hell. Well, I heard about an old mountain preacher not long ago. He preached on Sunday morning on 10 reasons why I know I'm not going to hell when I die. They said he never got past the first point. They shouted the house down. His first point, the reason why I know I'm not going to hell when I die, is because I ain't headed that way. I'm not headed that way tonight. Huh? How come? He has paid my penalty tonight. He has given me the ability to trust him. But not only does he deliver me from the penalty of sin, but Paul says in verse number 10, he is delivering me right now from the power of sin. He says in verse number 10, and doth deliver. Right now, his grace, his mercy is delivering me from the power of sin. Paul said, there's no temptation taking me, such as common to man, but God will give us an escape. He gives us a door. Every temptation comes with a door to escape it. Somewhere seemed like I read in the Bible where Jesus says, I am the door. So every time the devil tempts you, Jesus says, I'll be there. Say, hey, you can get out of that. You don't have to do it. You can take the door out. So don't tell your wife you accidentally did that. Tell her, I ran by the door. Are you listening to me? Delivereth us from the power of sin. But watch the text. He says, not only will he deliver me from the penalty and the power of sin, but he's going to, what? He's going to deliver me from the presence of sin one day. He says in verse number 10, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Can you imagine being somewhere where there's no sin? Would there any man here tonight like to be in a world where there'll be no more dirty thoughts? Would you like to live in such a world? They tell me up there, you don't think dirty. Wow, what a place that shall be, huh? Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, he shall deliver me from the very presence of sin. As the songwriter says, only trust him, only trust him now. Not only does it commence in death, this trust, it commences by deliverance, but I notice in our text there is the commencement into depth. Commencement into depth. God wants to take us deeper into this trust world. He tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 8 a great, great truth. Has anybody ever told you, when I was growing up, I heard preachers preach it all the time. I don't believe a word of it. Told me that God won't put no more on me than I can bear. Are you listening to me tonight? It's one of the biggest biblical lies that's ever been told to humankind. It's nowhere in the Bible. Are you listening to me? I know the text they use, the text I just quoted. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God will with the temptation also give you a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. One small problem. Little word temptation there is a solicitation to do evil. God said, I'll never let the devil solicit you to do evil. Above that, you're able to bear it. But in verse number 8, Paul mentions trouble here. Heartaches, difficulties, tragedies. That's what he talks about in verse number 8. Notice the depth of the trust here. He says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. What? Time out! Hold on! This is the fair-haired boy, wrote over half of the New Testament. He said God put so much on him, it flattened him. Wow, if he'd do that to him, ain't no telling what he'd do to me and you. Huh? Watch the text. He says, above strength. He said he put so much on me, I couldn't carry it. Wow, watch the text. He says, in so much that we despair. What? Paul said, God put so much on me, I wished I was dead. Wow. Hey, have you ever had so much on you, you wished you could get out of here? You joined Paul. What in the world would God want to take me to those depths of trust? Answer to your question is verse number 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves. He's going to put more on you than you can bear, so you'll stretch all your weight out on Him and stop trusting your stinking self and go to trusting Him. Huh? He can tell when you ain't got all your weight on Him. He'll pull the props out from underneath of you. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, I'm talking about the commencement of trust. But go further in this unpacking of, boy, I tell you one thing, preacher. I trusted God the other week. I'm sure glad I got that behind me. I didn't do too good in it. I didn't get but a D in it. But I'm glad that test is behind me. Oh, hon, this is a life lesson. God will continue. When you wake up in the morning, He has got some new trust issues for you. He has got some new tests to see if you will give Him all your weight. Rest it all upon Him. If you've got the Bible there, Proverbs chapter number 3. Could I mention not only the commencement of trust, but could I mention the continuance in trust. Trust is a life lesson. It is not a one-time thing. He says in verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all. I did not know if you'd see that word or not. Thought I'd underline it. Thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. I notice in this life lesson, the continuance of it, there is the where. Where am I to put my trust? Where am I to rest all of my weight? Solomon says in Proverbs to rest it all in the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D in your King James Bible. All caps. How come? Word Yahweh, word Jehovah, the word I am, the God who is, not the God that was, not the God who could be, but the God who is. You know this. I've told you this before. I was in the 10th grade on 3 different occasions. I flunked because I just couldn't get the conjugation of verbs right. I would flunk English over and over again. Some of you had already know that. I just couldn't get the conjugation. It was such a blessing when I met Jesus, and He doesn't need to be conjugated. He's never in the past. He's never in the future. He's always in the present. It's just so helped me. Are you listening to me tonight? Where should I put my trust? In a Republican? God forbid.
Huh? In Washington, God forbid. In the Supreme Court, gracious, don't do that. Put our trust, rest all of our weight upon Yahweh, Jehovah, the God who is. How? He says to trust Him with what? All thine heart. Is He talking about this thing that's thumping inside of me? Oh, gracious, no. You think He wants that? Why, gracious, most of us right in here tonight needs open heart surgery right now. You think He's got a room of hearts up there? Oh, I want your heart. Oh, I love hearts. I love them dead ones. No! He's not talking about that kind of heart. Solomon says, as a man thinketh. Ruh-roh. You mean to tell me, preacher, He wants all my thoughts? Yes. He says, I want you to stretch yourself out on me. And He says, I want you to give me all your thoughts. He says over in John's gospel, let not your heart be troubled. You mean to tell me, preacher, He wants all of my feelings? He wants all of my emotions? Yeah. See, you won't have to tell somebody you got offended no more. You didn't give your feelings to God. Stretched them out on. You listening to me tonight? He says, as a man purposeth in his heart. He not only wants all of my thoughts, all of my feelings, but He wants all of my doings. He wants me to stretch them out upon Him. Are you listening to me tonight? He can tell when you're having your own thoughts, your own feelings. I tell you, you be careful tonight when Baptists stand up in a church and say, oh, bless God, let me tell you what I think. Who cares what you think? Oh, bless God, I'll tell you how I feel. You know what they're fixing to do? They're fixing to puke up aerodynamic nature all over you. Who cares what you feel and think? I raised three boys that's feeling and thinking all the time. Didn't listen to them. We want to know what God thinks. We want to know what God feels. I want to give Him all of my thoughts, all my feelings, all my doings. Trust. Where of the trust? In the Lord. But I notice in our text, in this continuance, we're confronted with the how of the trust. I don't know about you. If somebody's going to tell me how to do something, sometimes it helps me if they tell me how not to do it. How not to do it. One of the first churches I ever went to, I only stayed there 9 months and I learned some golden lessons on how not to do it. Hello. He tells us how not to do it. Verse 5. Lean not unto thine own understanding. That little word lean means to support oneself, to rest or rely oneself upon their own understanding or their own thinking or their own perception of how they think things ought to come out. He says, don't lean that way. Lean towards Him. Lean towards His understanding. Lean towards His thinking. Lean towards His feelings. Don't lean that other way. Oh, there'll be constant tasks to bend you back towards Him. Talking about the how of the trust. Oh, it's so hard sometimes. I want to lean towards myself. I want to lean towards my thinking. How do I do it? He says here in our text, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. How can I not lean towards my own thinking? Every one of my ways, I must acknowledge it. I must lay it before Him. I must ask Him what He thinks about it. From buying a $100,000 house, $150,000, $200,000 house, to a parking place at Walmart. You mean to tell me, preacher, you pray about the parking places at Walmart? Absolutely. I like to park up close to the door where I don't have to walk very far. How's that working out for you? Huh? Acknowledge Him in all your ways. What good will that do? Not only do we see the where, we see the how, but we see the why. Why would I want to trust him like that, preacher? Look at verse 6. And he, talking about Jehovah, I am, he shall direct thy paths. I love that little word, direct. It means to make straight, to make clear, to make prosperous, to make right. I tell you one thing, if you'll acknowledge God in all your ways, you'll never hear God say, oops, I wished I hadn't have done that. Huh? You won't wake up one day, got two or three marriages under your belt, wondering how it happened. Oh no, you acknowledge him all of your ways, he shall direct your paths. I'm talking about the life lesson of trusting in God. Can we look at one last thing and we'll go to the house, one in Mark's gospel and one in Timothy, Mark chapter number 5. Could I bring a thought on the conclusion to trusting? There's a commencement. It commences in death. God quickens you, wakes you from the dead, puts trust in you. Immediately you put it back in him, rest all your weight upon him. Then it's a lifetime of him checking you, making sure all your weight's resting upon him. There's a continuance, trusting him with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. But then there's a conclusion to trusting. I notice in Mark chapter number 5, there is a trusting in a dark hour. Somebody asked old B.B. Caldwell years ago if the devil would ever stop attacking one of God's children. Would he ever let up on them? I love what old Caldwell said. He said that he would leave the frothy foam of his hot breath on the doorknob to heaven as you go through. He'll be trying to get you to not trust God one more time as you're making the crossing. Wow. Are you listening to me tonight? He ain't gonna never stop trying to get you to let up some of your weight off of God. I'm talking about trusting him in a death hour. This is the story, you know it well. Verse 22, behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet. You remember his daughter is sick. And the Lord consents to go to his house. And on the way to the house, that gal gets in a low crawl. She crawls over there, touches the hem of his garment. And he senses power is released from him. And the Bible says that she's had an issue of blood for 12 years. And the Bible says that she has spent all the money that she's got at the doctors, and she's none the better. And the Lord stops and strikes up a talk with her. And the Bible tells us that she told him the whole story. The whole story. Now, if a woman has been sick for 12 years, and she spent all of her money at the doctors, and she's going to tell somebody the whole story, it ain't going to be a short story. It's going to be a long story. So I can only imagine that Jairus is getting a little edgy. You need to get her on. We got to get to the house. Finally, the woman reaches the end of the story. And as she reaches the end of the story, they come to Jairus and tell him that his daughter is dead. Verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? I'm going to tell you something. That little word right there cleared the air. But I love what the Lord told him in verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid. That little word believe there is translated in our King James Bible, the word believe, but it is often translated the word trust. He turns to J.R.C. J.R. Just trust me, I got this. I got this. Rest all your weight. Hey, J.R.C., don't lift up any of your weight on. I know that shook you when you heard that word dead. Don't lift up any of your weight off of me. He put all your weight upon me. You know the story. He went to the house and raised her, his daughter, from the dead. I'm telling you, there is going to be some death hours for you and I where he is going to check us at the graveyard and see if all of our weight is resting upon him. I have taken every person. I was raised in a family where there was one brother, a mom, and a dad, and a grandma. And I've taken every one of them to the graveyard. I've preached every one of their funerals. You wouldn't have to take a rocket science for you to figure out that I'm next. Only trust me. Only believe in me. You must trust him in a death hour. But I notice if you've got the Bible, and I'll be done here. Life lesson on trusting in God. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Conclusion, trusting him in a death hour. But for Paul, must trust him in a dark hour. There is going to be times where you're going to think God's a million miles away. Where's God? God left me? Oh no, he ain't gone nowhere. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I don't feel him. I can't see him. Don't mean he ain't there. Dark hour. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Paul said in verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul is making his preparation to leave here. Making his preparation to go. Verse 16, he says, at my first answer. What does he mean, his first answer? This is when the sentence was read. Roman soldier probably opened the scroll, read the edict. Paul, you've been found guilty of surrounding the government with the gospel, telling the story about Jesus. You've been sentenced to have your head severed from your body. He said, when the read the first answer, watch the text, no man stood with me. There was no Mark there. There was no Luke there. Nobody was there. Paul was all alone. He says, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it be not laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. And I'm interested in this little word here, strengthened me. The little word strengthened here is a light breeze on a hot summer day. That's the little word that Paul uses here. I hear tell that Jesus said over in John's gospel that the Holy Ghost is like a wind. He's like a breeze. He's like a wind that blows. Paul says, I was standing there and they read the sentence. I cannot hardly believe that Paul didn't look, see if somebody left a window open or left a door open. He shivered. He said, whoa, man, what was that? He said, it's the good Holy Ghost told me, Paul, I'm here. I hadn't left you. I'm going to be with you all the way to the end. Oh, in that death hour, in that dark hour, he will demand that we rest all of our weight upon him. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. He will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. For Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe him without delay and you are fully blessed. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. It has been our privilege for the last year's pretty thick book to read the life story, my wife and I, of Charles Calvin. You
You say, who in the world is Charles Cowman? Charles Cowman was a missionary in the late 1800s, early 1900s to Japan. Matter of fact, Charles Cowman put a Bible in every home in Japan in the early 1900s. Him and a group of men, women and boys and girls, they went door to door and put a Bible in every home. Over 6 million homes in Japan at that time. And he put a Bible in every one of them. His wife is the lady who wrote Streams in the Desert and Springs in the Valley. She wrote those after Charles Cowman had a heart issue, and he was homebound for 2 years, the last 2 years of his life. He didn't go out of the house. The last few months he was bedridden, Charles Cowman. Shortly before Charles Cowman died, he started to sing very low at a whisper. And the family was around the bed, and they began to sing with him, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon the promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord.'" They said they dropped out. They didn't sing anymore. And in a few moments, Charles Cowman raised up in the bed and he sung the last phrase, "For I know that Thou art with me, Thou wilt be with me even to the end." Oh, I love the chorus of that old song. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. How I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. I wonder if you're proving Him. I wonder if you've got all your weight resting on Him tonight. Would you stand with us tonight? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Brother David doesn't mind. I'd ask the musicians to come to the instruments, maybe play a little something for us softly. If they can play, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus," oh, it would be such a blessing. But if they can't, it'll be fine. While we wait a moment in God's presence, I wonder if God realizes tonight that you're not resting all your weight upon Him. You're trying to work this thing out yourself. You're trying to manipulate it, think your way through it, understand your way through it. I wonder tonight if you want to get in this old altar tonight and just rest all your weight upon Him. While they play, while we wait a few moments in His presence, altar's open. Maybe you're here tonight, you realize for the first time God's breathed life into you. You were lost. God has put trust and belief in you. Why don't you come and bow in this old altar and ask God to have mercy on your soul, save you. While we wait, while they play,